Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, this is Darren Carter, and you are listening to Storyworthy. Enjoy this program.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn. I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Today's story is brought to us from comedian Darren Carter, and the title of his story is Finding My Father. And I just have to say, Darren, I mean, he's so amazing, but he has the quintessential story of a comedian who has had a difficult childhood. I mean, he grew up in Fresno, he lived in an orphanage, he was adopted, but you'd never know it to meet this guy. I mean, Darren Carter, he's so uplifting, he's so funny. He's aptly known as the party starter. Did I tell you that? The party starter, Darren Carter. And by the way, Darren's memes on Facebook and stuff are like the funniest I've ever seen. And if you haven't seen Darren Carter live, he is worth your time. You can find more about where Darren Carter is playing at DarrenCarter.com. Okay, before we bring on Darren's story, I did want to mention that you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And I'm also on Facebook. Of course I'm on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, please, right now, stop what you're doing and click the like button on the Facebook page. And don't forget to head over to StoryworthyPodcast.com before you shop on Amazon, because you click on my link and it costs you nothing and it helps me out. So thank you for that. Okay, you guys, Darren Carter's here right now. He's an amazing comedian, like I said, who performs extensively around the country and here in L.A. Now, he's been seen on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and in the movie Be Cool with John Travolta. He's also been on Comedy Central, BET, and Showtime. He has a new album out right now called The Party Continues, and it's available on his website, DarrenCarter.com, and also on iTunes. You can find him also over on Twitter, at Darren Carter. Okay, you guys, without further ado, the amazing, the talented Darren Carter.
So my comedy, as you can tell, is a lot of, you know, it's like high energy, and there's moments where it's low energy. But I would say that it's, you know, my name kind of fits my style. Darren Carter, the party starter. So I hit him like that. You know, and I used to throw in a little, you know, sprinkle in some impressions, you know, Snoop Dogg, bow, wow, yeah, yeah, was cracking, it's the Deco Double G, yeah, 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 you know, and I don't do that a lot as much as I used to, or I still have that talent and ability, but, you know, in my comedy now, I talk a lot about my wife and my son and being, you know, like, those things that happen, and it's great to have people that have been fans for a really long time come up to me and be like, man, you know what, dude, your stuff is even better now. And that is when you know you're, you know what I mean? Because there's that small part of the insecure that's like, does the audience like me better when I was doing my characters from, you know, growing up in Fresno, and the Latino guys would be like, Odile, what's up, Fireball? It's the weirdo from the ghetto. Come on, Rooster, I know you hear me. So, you know, and a Mexican gentleman, he goes, dude, I thought you were funny before. I love your stuff now. And I'm like, thank you. And then I heard that same comment 2 weeks ago when I was in Texas. And I'm like, that's great. I can't believe it. So I'm telling you all that to bring you up to speed on what's happening. So I was talking to a friend, great friend, Kira Sultanovich. And I said, you know, I'm recording my album, the new one. It's called Stay at Home Stripper. And that's like a little silly, goofy part of the album. You know, I imagine the idea of, you know, because I kept hearing the phrase, I'm a stay-at-home dad or I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I thought, you know, I'm a stay-at-home stripper. You know, what would that be like if some guy is just literally, you know, just, you know, I use the mailbox like a stripper pole. I work it. Flags up, bags out. They call me Cinnamon Stick, yeah. They call me, you know, Hot Cheetos. They call me Churro, you know. And then, and so I have that kind of stuff on the album. That's silly, you know, silly, fun, goofy stuff. And I was talking to Kara and go, you know, I want to talk about also about, you know, growing up in a foster home, what it was like being adopted. And then we were just goofing around. I go, I don't know how to get into it, though. I mean, it's like, do you go from, if you're my birth mom, say, ho. And she's like, you got to use that. You have to use that. And because it's hilarious. Because, you know, and that's how I do this whole bit on the album about, you know, growing up and being, you know, not only a white guy in a red, you know, I almost said a white guy in a redheaded neighborhood, but a redheaded white guy in a predominantly Latin neighborhood. You know, and some of the jokes that I would say are, you know, like, hey, Rooster, you like jokes? I love jokes. Knock, knock. Who's there? Not your parents. Puto. Ah, ah. Stupid Rooster. You know, you know, because you get picked on and teased a little bit. And I think that's kind of where the comedy comes from. But I will tell you, the story that I'm going to tell you today is this. So I was, actually I'm going to put these headphones back on. I kind of like that. It's like I'm listening to the podcast with you, yeah. Which is weird because I'm listening to myself. But so I'm adopted. I grew up in a foster home, as I said before. I lived in the foster home from, you know, starting when I was 3 years old. And I lived there until I was, you know, until my parents adopted me at 9. And then I was able to, you know, like most people, you know, leave the nest and save the money and be like, I'm out of here. See ya, you know. And, you know, and I would see my birth mom, or, you know, I used to say my real mom, but I think now people say birth mom or biological or whatever. But that's, I'm just going to say I'll say birth mom for, to use today's terms. So I knew my birth mom a little bit, you know, like I would see her like every other weekend until I was about 7, 8 or 9, somewhere in there. And I would see like her parents, my grandparents, every other weekend. And so I have a real bond with them. And although they've passed away since, you know, now. And then when I was adopted, that pretty much got cut off. Like I only saw them, you know, Christmas and my birthday, which is in June. So it's like every 6 months, like clockwork, boom, I get to see him. And didn't really think about my father or my dad at all. Like I knew that he, you know, I'd seen him a couple times when I was a kid. I knew that he was a biker. I knew that he was, you know, involved in, you know, like the Hells Angels or whatever, you know, back in the 60s. So I wasn't that interested in meeting him. Like, I didn't really have like, oh, I must meet this, you know, I was like, eh, whatever, you know, like if I see him, I wasn't, you know, anything I even really thought serious about. My mother, you know, was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. I'd go to my grandparents' house, even as an adult in my 20s and 30s, and he'd have a list. Okay, I'm going to send her some cereal, but these are the specifications. It can't, you know, has to be in a Ziploc bag. It has to be like this, like that. So she died about 12 years ago in prison. I get the phone call, and it was a thing where I was like, oh, I mean, it was a pretty heavy phone call, but at the same time, I was like, well, I'm not that attached to her. I am, but I'm not. And I think I cried. I heard the message. I mean, I talked on the phone to my aunt, which is her sister. I hung up, I turned and told my wife, and then I just burst out into tears, you know, for about a minute. And it was like, okay, that's all right. Let's just move on, you know. And you don't, you know, it's wasn't like I knew her really well, but I did know her. And then remember that, like, that night I performed, I was actually at the Ice House in Pasadena, and it's funny, like, I sort of was in denial or, you know, whatever, like, you know, it was weird, like, that day I had a set that was, you know, probably, like, better than normal or whatever, I don't know, like, I do remember this, I remember walking off stage, and I went to the sound booth, and the sound booth guy, who he'd worked there for a long time, he goes, Darren, that set was unbelievable. That was really good. And just, I don't know why I felt this thing to tell him, but I go, you're not going to believe it, man. And I told him the news that my mom died that day. He goes, you're kidding me. And I go, no, I'm not. And I guess he just saw my face. Like I was, you know, I go, I'm not kidding. And now that guy, maybe that just triggered something with him or I don't know, but he goes, I'm sorry, man. And he gave me a hug, and it's weird. We both started crying. Like it was really weird. Like, you know, I don't know if I would, if someone told me their mom died, I don't know if I would burst out instantaneously, you know, spontaneously in tears, but he did. And it was a really crazy moment. And, you know, and then I was like, thank you, man. Thank you. And then I realized, like, you know, like there's little signs that you're like, I'm growing up, that like that these are things that like telltale signs, like I'm not a kid anymore or a teenager or a young man anymore. And that was one of them. And I'm like, you know, I kept putting this thing off, like I gotta find my dad, you know, I'll see him one day. I'll look him up. I know he's a biker. I know, you know, I kind of know what, I know what town he lives in. I know. And I think that day's coming. I, you know, my mom's passed away. Like, it's like the little leaves that fall off the tree. Like, winter's coming. Like, you better, it's time. So the next time I went home, you know, back to my hometown, I told you in Fresno, I thought, okay, and I got really nervous. I'm like, I'm going to look him up. I'm going to do this. And so I was really lucky. I mean, there's a lot of foster kids or kids that were put up for adoption. They have no idea. They have to hire a detective. Dude, this sounds fun. I looked him up in the phone book. This isn't even Facebook or MySpace. This is like the phone book, right? I'm like, I know his name. I looked him up. I saw his first initial and the last name, and I'm like, this is it. And people told me they'd seen him driving around that town, like, because he had a, you know, really, like, you know how Jay Leno has, like, these special cars? Like, he was really into these old, like, hot rod type cars and specialized license plates that had his name on it. And I'm like, I'm going to call it my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. She's great. On stage, I do a joke about her. And the joke, and this is not true, though, really. I mean, for the joke, she's Armenian, which is true. This is someone else that said it, but I just attribute it to her. I go, how do you say happy in Armenian? We don't have that word, is the joke I say. But she's adorable. Anyways, but she does have that side to her, too, which is hilarious. She loves watching court shows. And I mean, what I'm trying to say is she's wonderful. Okay. I'm thinking about calling my real dad and just, you know, it's weird though. I mean, I haven't seen him since I was like about 7 years old. And then she goes, you know, if he doesn't want to know you, it's his loss. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, all right, I'm going to do it. So I picked up the phone. I called the number. Somebody answered. I told him who I was. And the person that answered was a friend of his. Like, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, he'll be right back. I'm like, I've heard that before. No. He went to the store. He'll be right back. And I go, yeah, my mother, da, da, da. And he goes, oh. And he said my mother's nickname. And I'm like, wow, this guy's apparently my dad had, like, you know, these old friends for years, decades, you know. He goes, he'd be so happy to hear from you. I'm going to tell him. I was like, really? Okay. So then, you know, a half hour goes by and he calls my number and I'm like freaking out. I answer the phone and we start talking and what brings you to town? I told him, you know, I'm a comic and I'm going to do a show tomorrow night and tell him the situation, you know, about tell him what happened. He's like, oh, it's a shame. I hadn't seen your mom since, like, you know, the 70s and da 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 da. And how's your grandpa handling it? I was like, your grandpa, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the plan was I'm going to do a show tonight. I'm going to do a show tomorrow night. Let's get together tomorrow during the day. And we'll have lunch. Well, he is, you know, he's excited beyond belief. He can't, you know, he can't wait till tomorrow. So that night I'm on stage. The crowd is mostly in their 30s and 40s. Some people are in their 20s. I look over and there's these two bikers that look like ZZ Top. And I'm on stage and I notice this. And I make a joke. I go, hey, which one of these is not? And right as I'm doing this little goofy thing, I'm like, my heart drops. I'm like, that's my father. Wow. And I just avoided that part of the crowd for the rest of the night. All right, let's be looking over here to the left side of the stage. Or whatever. I may have glanced over there a few times. And I said, thank you. Good night. And, you know, I walked off stage and went straight to the back. And, this is, you know, pre-merch sales. I didn't know this before I sold CDs after shows or whatever. And his friend came back and he's like, oh, man, you got to come say hi to him. And, you know, and that's, you know, we got reacquainted and I have his number and we talk every now and then. And, you know, I'm really glad I did that. And if anybody is out there and me, I'm not saying, you know, that I'm not saying maybe it's not right for you, but I'm telling you it feels really good to do that. And also, the, you know, listen, maybe like my mother-in-law said, if they don't want to know you, it's their loss.
Okay, you guys, there you go. Darren Carter. Was that a great story or what? So listen, if you have a mom or dad or a parent you've never met, take it from Darren Carter. Go find them. All right, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank our storyteller again, Darren Carter. Again, you can find Darren over on Twitter at Darren Carter and at his website, DarrenCarter.com. And why not tweet him over there on Twitter and let him know how much you enjoyed his story on Storyworthy. And you can follow me there as well at Storyworthy. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by writer Laura House.
Had I ever done a juice cleanse before? Hell no. I'd started lots of them. They're easy. You start with a juice in the morning, then around noon you get hungry and you eat a sandwich.
Again, don't miss Laura House next week on Storyworthy. All right, I want to thank everybody over here at Wondery today, including our sound engineer, Sergio Enriquez. And on behalf of our storyteller today, Darren Carter, my name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it the Storyworthy Week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.